The Fan on Demand.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. Play in one of the daily qualifiers to earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package and a chance to win your share of over $192 million in prize money. Qualify now and play for free at PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
This is The Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Rob Wong, and Chris DeCero back from his Las Vegas adventures. You got a nice tan there, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that has anything to do with... Listen, if you've come back from Las Vegas with a tan, you're doing something wrong. That's the honest-to-goodness truth. That's
well, you were busy. I shouldn't say you weren't busy. It's not like you were sitting in the sun relaxing. You were chatting up
sitting
with people.
Sitting in the total eclipse.
Oh, that's right,
there's
yeah.
A solar eclipse there.
The
yeah.
Supermoon, right?
Yeah, there was a solar eclipse, a complete solar eclipse in Las Vegas. It was actually very neat. I pretty much burned my retinas for the rest of my life watching it.
I was going to say, is that the one where you can't look at the sun?
You
the
cannot
solar
look
eclipse?
At the sun, yeah. I mean, I...
Well, that think, would make sense, I guess.
I think
the lunar
you're pretty
eclipse,
much not supposed to look at the sun at any given point in time.
But at that point...
But yeah, it's but it was, you know, what are you going to do? I tried all these tricky things like, you know, pulling the curtains on my hotel suite. The you know those semi opaque curtains to just sort of filter out some of the sunlight, you know, smart stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember that in school when we were in elementary school and we had a couple of solar eclipses and they said, yeah, everybody has to stay inside, the curtains have to be closed, you can't look at the sun.
Yeah,
and if you want to look at it, you have to have one of those special, I don't know, it was like a filter screen or something to be able to look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was actually Googling it. I was trying to make a pinhole camera out of a shoebox,
cool.
But you know. I digress. So but my tan's back from relaxing. For the brief period of time I'm going to be back here in Canada before I head back down to the World Series to put some cards in the air, which happened today, actually. Today was the official kickoff of the World Series of Poker. You know, I should have held Seth Polansky to getting me that employee's number so that I could play as an employee in the employee's event, because the traditional kickoff to the World Series of Poker at the Rio is the casino employee's event. So... it's pretty interesting, some of the people that are casino employees. Of course, you have Matt Savage, the great tournament director, who we've spoken to. He's playing today. There's quite a few people who you would recognize as casino employees that are playing today. I unfortunately could not get a fake ID that said I worked at any or all of the hotels.
No, so. You couldn't show a working visa?
No, none of the above. So I am not playing in event number one. But it's that kicked off today, and I tell you, people are excited about the World Series. It's going to be... fun to see what happens. You know, there's a lot of fantasy drafts this year. A lot of people are doing, you know, Daniel Negreanu hosts a big high roller fantasy draft with a large buy-in, and there's a bunch of smaller ones where, you know, it's just like fantasy hockey. You pick your team and you score points by the players that you pick doing well. We should probably prop bet something like that.
I think so.
We should each pick a team.
Okay.
We'll get Mark, the producer, to pick a team,
sure.
Too, and we'll see which one of us can come up with the best team. That was how my former co-host got hit in the head with a submarine sandwich in the corner
I've
of
heard
King
that
Peter
story
Street.
Once or five times.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to put something like that on it. We'll pick a fantasy team for the World Series, and we'll see who can do the best, and then we'll have some sort of really humiliating payoff.
Sounds good with me. I'm up for any kind of bet, so...
There you go.
Subway sandwiches,
all right.
Calzones, whatever
by,
type
by
of...
next week, you present yourself. I mean, we'll email it back and forth, and
sure.
we'll reveal our teams next week on the show, and let's say we'll pick 10 guys each.
Okay.
And whoever's players will follow standard fantasy pool rules, and whoever's players chalk up the most points, then... that person's the winner, and the other two will have to suffer some sort of humiliation.
I'm going to have to start thinking of some really bad things.
Yeah. You know, Stu Unger is a good pick all the time. He's won a lot. Stu Unger has won a lot. And Russ Hamilton would be another guy you'd want to take a lot. Howard Lederer this year. You know what I mean? Howard Lederer has a great record.
We should be telling these things to Mark, because
yes.
I mean, some of these may fly over my head, but for him, I think for the most part, he's just going to be writing, oh, okay, sure, Howard Lederer,
yeah.
Chris Ferguson.
Yeah,
right.
Chris Ferguson. Yeah,
gonna write
that'd
these
be fantastic.
Down. Speaking of the WSOP, though, the tournament director, Jack Effel, will join us later in the show. We'll find out if he's freaking out or relaxed and calm now that we have finally reached the Super Bowl of Poker the tournament has now begun, like you said. But, I mean, you were there last week. I mean, you didn't get to see it, but, of course, it just happened the other day. Oh, I guess it was yesterday, as Marvin Redman winning the WPT Championship on his first tour of duty with Party Poker.
Yeah, Mad Marvin. You know, I had dinner with him the second night I was in Vegas with him and Mike Sexton and Warren Lush, the public relations person for Party Poker, and they were announcing the signing the next day that they were signing Marvin as a Party Poker pro, and he was playing in the WPT Championship. That was their unveiling for him, of course, because Party Poker also owns the World Poker Tour. And what a debut.
Yeah.
They announced the guy as a pro, and this wasn't come from behind either. I mean, he was in the mix for the lead the whole time. He was a chip leader a couple different times at it, and boy, oh boy, like what a story. You know, there's a lot of people out there saying that Scott had to be rigged. Had to be rigged because it's just too good of a story. But yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a very funny guy. He's, you know, got a great sense of humor. Fit right in with the Tony G school of,
I can only imagine,
school of poker. So he's going to be fantastic. And they seem to think that he'd be capable of driving Phil Hellmuth crazy at the poker table as well, which I think is a prerequisite from Tony G for anyone to be associated with him in Party Poker. But, you know, good guy, real good poker player, German. I think he lives in London now.
Yeah, but I think that's what I read as well.
Yeah, you know, what a start.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Did Rettenmeier play you any songs? He's known to be...
He's the
Justin Bieber of poker, as Warren said last
Warren
week.
Said, yeah. No, I have not heard him sing as of yet, but I'm willing to bet that late into the night and early into the morning today, there was much, much singing. I was trying to get a hold of him earlier today to see if we could get him on, and there was no answer on his phone, and I'm not particularly surprised by that at all.
I'm sure he's still celebrating. He's going to be celebrating for a while, I imagine, till he has to play his first WSOP event. So could go on for a bit. Who knows?
What a great coming out party for someone, you know, as to be launched as a pro and then just to step right up and win your first event like that. I mean, how good do the people at Party Poker feel?
Must be unreal. I mean, that's the best, you know, sort of publicity you could get. You sign a new guy. 5 days later, 6 days later, he wins the tournament. I mean, it's...
And they don't sign a lot of pros.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not one of these companies like, you know, the old Full Tilt that had a billion pros, most of whom you'd never heard of. Party Poker is very selective in who they hang their name on. And boy, oh boy, that was just, I mean, just a fantastic start. And I couldn't be happier for him. Like, couldn't happen, you know, the old saying, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But he's pretty well bankrolled now for the WSOP, isn't he?
Yeah, he's running on house money at the moment. It's funny you mention, you know, just the type of personality that he has. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the passing of Amaryllis Slim and just all these, you know, big sort of personalities, I guess, that these people have. And he seems to be not a larger-than-life character, but he's just got so many cool aspects to his, you know, his being. He's a singer, a dancer, he plays poker, 25 years old, German, funny guy, like you mentioned, just an overall cool guy. I mean, he's somebody that you can market, clearly.
Well, I would think that would be a lot behind the reason for signing him, but that's fantastic. And again, you know, what kind of a guy is that that's going to go out and win under all that pressure? I mean, lots of distraction. They had him doing all kinds of media, left, right, and center, and all of a sudden, boom, he's just focused, dialed in, and able to play. So that bodes very, very well for him.
Now, of course, you're going to be heading back to Vegas in about a week and a half to get things figured out for your WSOP run. You got things marked down on the calendar? Have you had a long look at things yet?
I've had a long look at it and, you know, made my plans, decided when I was going to go down and everything else. And then I got on the website for Air Canada and started to look at flights. And oh, my goodness. Why are flights so ridiculously expensive? It's not a holiday. It's nothing. It's just a week in regular flights to Las Vegas. Like, what the heck is going on? The flights were double the price.
Has this been like that in years past?
No. And then I started to examine a little closer, and apparently there's some sort of nerd convention there, a huge you know, conference. A big convention.
Nerd convention.
And some guy named Pacquiao is fighting in Las Vegas.
That's probably why. Not the nerd convention. It's not like millions and millions of people are coming to Vegas for the nerd convention.
Millions of... Seriously, that is the place you will... I mean, they have all the Comic-Cons
right.
And, you know, the sci-fi conventions and the Star Trek. And, I mean, everything is down there. It's always in Vegas because it's just a fun place to go. And it's a place where you can walk around on the street dressed as a Klingon and not really even turn a head, to be perfectly honest with you.
So are you saying the fight fans are going to clash with the nerds and beat up the nerds at the nerd convention? Is that what's going to happen? It's going to be
Yeah, that would be
the
interesting,
Battle of
wouldn't
Two
it?
Worlds.
Well, that would be interesting. But no, no. All I'm saying is they're basically, you know, combining forces to screw me out of a pile of money for airfares and whatnot, because it's costing me a lot more to go down there than I had originally anticipated spending. And hey, bankroll management is important. And when you go down, you know, players will tell you about it. When you go down to Vegas and settle in to play the World Series of Poker, and you're going to be there for a little while, you're running up expenses the whole time that you're there. Your flights cost money, your hotel costs money, you know, your food and everything else. It all adds up. So, you know, you think about it, you play in, even guys go down and play in like little events like 1500s and 2500s. Well, if you go down and play in a 1500 and you min cash, that's a win, right?
Yeah.
Unless it costs you $2,000 to be there, in which case you're losing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't factor into their thinking with bankroll, which is why just go online, go to Party Poker, win a seat. That way they pay for your expenses to go down there. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. It takes a load off your mind.
So. Yeah, that makes things much, much easier. And I know we've talked about this before, because you mentioned all the things that you have to worry about while you're out there and you're playing. And we've talked before about how, you know, once you're done playing, you kind of just, each person has their own thing that they do to just get away or relax and try not to put added pressure on themselves. But I mean, extra stress, like thinking about how much your plane's going to cost now and the food and stuff. I mean, you really, really do have to sit down and you know, pretty much micromanage your expenses, because otherwise it's just going to get out of hand and you're going to lose track. And
absolutely. Look, at you know, if you want to be a poker player, if you want to be, especially if you want to be a professional poker player, you not only need to learn how to manage your bankroll, you need to learn how to manage your lifestyle. And what it becomes tricky sometimes, because you're hanging out with people, you know, who at various times, one or the other of them is always flush.
Yeah.
You know, someone's always just won something and has got a pocket full of money, and, you know, and they're doing the bottle service and the clubs and things like that. And I mean, it's a great lifestyle. It's a lot of fun, but, you know, it's not something that you want to be paying for, because if you have to pay for that kind of stuff, especially in Las Vegas, I mean, a night of bottle service at a club in Las Vegas, you know, one of the big clubs like Pure is going to cost you a small fortune, and it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you're a celebrity watcher, and that's the type of place that you can go into a club like Pure at Caesars, and you will see Paris Hilton, and you'll see...
Not a big fan. Kim Kardashian. How about that?
Kim, really?
Yeah, I love Kim Kardashian.
Really?
Yes. I never watched the show.
Wow.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians once for about 30 seconds, and I thought, okay, I'm going to love this show, because Kim Kardashian's on there, the other Kardashian, not the scary one. Not Lamar Odom's wife, but the other one, Courtney. And I thought, this show is going to be great, you know, and I watched 20 seconds of it, and I was like, this is the worst show I've ever seen in my life. So
I have only seen it in passing, and it seems that every time I turn it on, Bruce Jenner is on the screen, and he just freaks me out.
He's a scary-looking person.
Just freaks me out. I don't, like, he looks mummified.
Maybe Bruce Jenner is going to be up here during the WSOP.
Ooh.
Maybe not Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton, Bruce Jenner.
You know, I've been there with the Pussycat Dolls shows are going on, and, you know, everything great going on in the world. It's not my idea of fun to be partying next to Bruce Jenner, because I'd just be freaked out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a freaky. There's a lot of freaky people in Vegas.
He'd be perfect for Halloween, I guess, at that time of year.
Yeah.
He'd fit right in as a mummy.
Yeah,
he could just wrap himself in toilet paper.
You know what else was weird? Just off on a tangent here for a second. So in Vegas this past week, it was hot. I mean, it was like, you know, well over 100 degrees hot, like, you know, 120 Fahrenheit hot, pushing 38, 39, 40 Celsius. I was astounded at the number of people working the strip for tips in, like, costumes.
Really?
Yeah.
They have fans in those things, don't they?
Not if you're dressed like Iron Man.
I guess so.
And there was a couple of them that you could smell before you could see.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, that is just, that's just unpleasant. I mean, let alone the guys dressed up as Elvis, and, you know, there's lots of people like that, and the guys playing guitar and all sorts of things. But
there's
just a ton of people in costumes. Superhero costumes in particular were real big, and it's kind of, is yucky the right word, I guess?
That's probably suitable.
Yeah.
Yucky sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was just, and you know, like, the kids see them and they run up, and you're like, as a parent, if I was there with my kid and he was running towards one of these people, I'd be like, don't touch! Don't touch! Do not touch Spider-Man!
Yeah, see, those people I don't trust. A couple of years ago when I went with family, it was my cousin's wedding, and we had my cousins there, and they're like, you know, 9, 10 years old. They took a picture with the M&Ms outside the M&M store, so you knew they were legit. you know, they were the official mascots. It's not like we saw them on some street corner necessarily. So,
well,
you got to pick and choose, Chris.
I choose none is really my, I know that's a bad answer, but that's just the truth. I just, it's just creepy. I don't know. It was weird, but you know what? It's always fun. And one of the wins that I had coming back from Vegas, aside from winning some money and doing fairly well, and Kara Scott and I are now the co-owners of a WPT seat.
Nice.
We're fighting over it. We're not really.
Prop bet.
You can't fight with Kara. No. I'm not going to prop bet with her over it.
No.
You know, I was happy to do her the favor and play in her spot and happy that I could win something for her. But I came back. I love magic and magic stores. And I went to a magic store and bought a bunch of stuff, magic tricks.
Nice.
So I was like sitting in my backyard last night with the neighbors having a drink.
Putting
they're
on
for
your own
my
Chris
son.
Angel
Technically,
show?
They're for my son to do his talent show at school. But no, I pulled out the magic tricks like in the middle of the night, like aha, ta-da, ooh, ah, and all the neighbors are like, that's cool. How do you do it? I'm like, I can't tell you.
Yeah, it's magic.
A magician.
That's
never
why
gives away his secrets.
Exactly.
Which is the opposite of my 7-year-old who like does a trick and goes, I'll show you how it works.
I'm kind of like that too. I have a lot of card tricks, and I just feel like I have to show them. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I have one really, really good one. I'll have to show you one time. But we'll get back to talking about poker, Chris. You're taking me off all over the place. Jack Effel, the tournament director of the WSOP.
Jack knows some card tricks.
Does he? We'll have to ask him.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Maybe he does.
Just
maybe he doesn't.
All right. I bet he does.
We'll ask him. But Jack Effel, the tournament director of the World Series of Poker, will join us next year on The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. Play in one of the daily qualifiers and earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package. Play for free at PartyPoker.net. To see if you've got what it takes to get to Vegas, qualify now at PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
Welcome back to The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rob Wong and Chris DeCiro both in the studio. It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while since we've sat together in the same room, Chris. Probably about 2 weeks, but
yeah,
I might be making a bit too much.
Not missing you much, Rob.
same with you, Chris.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad to hear. But joining us, we have a third person now over the phone, which is something that Chris and I are very familiar with, is Jack Effel, the tournament director of the World Series of Poker, as the WSOP has begun today with the casino employees event. And Jack, you got the nervous juices flowing, or are you nice and relaxed and all ready to go for the next couple of months here?
You know, guys, I'm actually calmer than I've ever been for a World Series, and it's surprising considering that we had a very tight timeline to get everything set up. We had, you know, another convention in the Rio that left out of here on Wednesday night, so we didn't get a lot of the convention space until Thursday morning. So all of the teams had to, you know, pull everything together really, really fast to ensure everything was set up on time. And well, we did get some of the other rooms, you know, a few days prior to that, like the Amazon, to set up the production and that sort of thing. But it was very, very tight. But now I think things are great. You know, we opened on time. We passed our gaming inspection. All the employees showed up. The place looks amazing. We had a nice turnout today for the casino employees event, about 730 players for it. And everybody's having a good time so far. The lines at the cage have not been long. We had a little 300-player start for our deep stack. You know, about a dozen or so single tables going, about a dozen or so cash games, and a lot of people are trickling in now to start signing up for tomorrow's 1500. So I think as the days kind of move forward over the next few days, we should see, you know, business picking up. Obviously, moving into the weekend, we'll get hit with the train, but we're going to be prepared for them because everybody's on point. Everybody's feeling good, and we are not nervous or anxious at all. We are excited and motivated and ready to, you know, not conquer the world, but yes, conquer the world, ready to handle all of the players and meet and exceed their expectations as they come to the World Series. It's going to be a great year.
Now, Jack, when you get set to do this, I know we've talked about it before, but I mean, you guys put in just ridiculous days. And I think I mentioned this to you once before. Did you ever put a pedometer on to see how much you travel in a day?
You know, I haven't, but it's kind of funny because you know, my wife has one of those body bugs. You know, I should wear one of those and you know, see how many calories I burn on a day.
I think you should put one of those running apps or something on your phone, and it will actually track the mileage that you cover. Because I'm willing to bet a guy like you covers an insane amount of mileage, because it's not a small place to start with. The Rio is a big hotel.
It is, and now that we have three rooms, obviously I'll be circling the three rooms and the 470 tables within those rooms, and of course registration and payouts and TR and all the other tournament functions around it, quite a bit over the next 50 days. Hopefully maybe even shed a little bit more fat.
Now, Jack, I have to bring this up. I know that the Coke Tea or Pepsi is playing today. Event number one is the Casino Employees event, and Matt Savage, another great tournament director, is at your tables today. And I understand that he has been given a penalty at one point or another playing in the World Series. Is that true?
I didn't even know that he was here. Nobody, he didn't come say hi to me, so I'm not sure that he's even in the field. And so I have not seen him. But if he got a penalty, I'm sure he deserved it. I know that one year he was playing and he did something that he shouldn't have done, and the floor person looked at him like, am I supposed to give this guy a penalty? And he just stood up from the table. He says, I'm going to give myself the penalty.
Yeah.
And he took his penalty and he walked on because he knew he had it coming. He knew I wasn't going to let him get away with it.
You know, you guys are both great at your trade, and it's a very important thing. Now, when you're doing what you do and you're running around the Rio and being a crazy man, are there particular points of the World Series that you look forward to, that you get excited for? I mean, this year you got the one drop, which is going to be beyond compare as far as big buy-in tournaments. But is there something that you look forward to that's just day one, 1A of the main event? What is it for you?
You know, I think, you know, the mentality for me is that, you know, I'm here and part of something that's bigger than all of us. The World Series of Poker is an enormous event, and, you know, it takes so many people to pull it off, to execute flawlessly, to make sure there are no issues, to make sure integrity is protected, to make sure the service standards are the highest they could possibly be, to address any issues that come up. You know, what I look forward to is, you know, the fact that every person that comes to the World Series of Poker is creating an experience that they will take with them. They're creating memories that will be with them for as long as they live. And they'll remember, I was at the 2012 World Series of Poker, and I was playing in event 33, and I got all the money in up against Dole Brunson with two aces. And, you know, if I win that hand, you know, I'm going to be the chip leader going into the final day. And, you know, that could have been my bracelet that I won. You know, those are the types of things that I look forward to, is hearing the excitement and the energy and the experiences from the players. Because, you know, when you have that effect on people, because it has that effect on me, then you know you've been part of something good. And that's what makes me feel good about doing this, is that, you know, there's always something exciting every single day. There's never a dull moment. And if anything comes up, even in the slightest, you know, the media's chomping at the bit to report about it. So there's never a dull moment at the World Series. You know, action's always been in my blood. I love poker. I love poker tournaments. I love the World Series of Poker and being part of it, and just being involved with it is enough energy. But yes, I am looking forward to the big one for one drop event, July 1st. I'm looking forward to the Mix Max coming up on Thursday. I'm looking forward to the Heads Up PLO No Limit Hold'em event. I'm looking forward to all the new events to see, you know, how well they do and how players receive them, and all of the feedback, the 2,500 floor max, the 1,500 ante only. You know, obviously the main event is that event that, you know, you start to get down, you think the event's starting to end, and here it's just starting again, you know.
I got to backtrack for a second here on you, Jack. Are you saying a player comes down and signs up for event 33 and gets all of his chips in against Doyle Brunson? Do you know for a fact that Doyle Brunson is playing in the $1,000 no limit?
Oh,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Jack.
I pulled that out of my my hat there. I use that as an example, but you know that's what I hear. You know, a lot of guys that come to the World Series of Poker, you know, and again, the hardcore pros, they come in, they play, you know, they have their experiences, they win money, they lose money. It's another World Series. It's time to, you know, to work, you know. And then there are guys that come and they save up all year and they take their 4 or 5 days off from work. They fly to Las Vegas. They come and stay at the Rio. They play a $1,500 event or $1,000 event, and that's their experience. And you know, several thousand people every year come and get a taste of that. And you know, for us, we want to create the best experience we can for them because they're the next generation. They're going to be the next grinders in all of the mixed games and the big high-limit cash games and the bracelet winners of tomorrow and all of that. So we want to continue to, you know, have an environment where it's fun, where there's a nice diverse set of events on the schedule that you know players can compete at all different levels, and of course some nosebleed events as well, like the $50,000 and the $1 million, and then of course you know something for those that don't maybe not just play, but just want to come and hang out at the Rio, watch their favorite player, or support one of their friends in an event, or whatever the case may be. You know, this is the Woodstock of poker. It's also the Olympics of poker. It's the place where poker is happening all summer long, and it's the place that if you like poker or like to be around poker or want to play poker, is the only place to be from today, May 27th through July 16th, period.
Jack Evel, the tournament director of the WSOP, joining us here on the Poker Show with Chris DeSantis. I'm Rob Wong here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and it's great that you mentioned the experience, Jack, because, I mean, that's really what it is all about. I mean, we hear Norman Chad always say, you know, just another kid with a dream, and, you know, that's his famous line there. But when it comes to you, I mean, you've been doing this for a while now, and what is your favorite memory, whether it's, you know, an event that you watched, just something you got to see, maybe getting to meet somebody? I mean, what stands out for you over this time period where you've had this job?
You know, I've seen some exciting things over the years. I still laugh when I think about Johnny Chan and Phil Locke playing heads up for the pot limit hold'em bracelet in 2005, in the 5K pot limit hold'em. That was just so funny, you know, Phil Locke and the Unabomber hoodie doing push-ups and on the floor and laughing, going, Johnny F and Chan. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm playing Johnny F and Chan. And every time Johnny puts chips in the pot, he just cracks up because, you know, Phil doing some kind of stupid theatrical moves at the table. And, you know, when I think back to stuff like that, it's just really made it fun. The expansion of the World Series of Poker over the last few years, you know, World Series of Poker Europe, going to Cannes, France, World Series of Poker Africa, you know, the new revitalized circuit events. There's so many cool things about the World Series of Poker that keep us all jazzed and energized and wanting to continue to make the game that we all love better for all, and just being part of that and being part of such a great brand as the World Series is just enough for me. I have so many to list, but that was definitely a fun one with Chan and Locke for sure.
Now, Jack, what's your expectation this year? I mean, it's part of what you do and everybody at Harrah's does is to try and project how many players are going to be there and what the numbers are going to be like. And in the last, you know, in this part of 2012, there has been a bit of a downtrend in live poker and tournament entries. What's your feel, you know, for how things are going to play out and in particular the main event, what the numbers could be like?
So, you know, I'm charged with putting together the schedule and being kind of the pivot guy that works with all the different units to determine, you know, what the right dichotomy is, what the right mix of events and, you know, what we should slate in the schedule for the year, you know, and talk to the players, see what worked, see what didn't work. Do we have events that are declining in participation? Do we have events that we don't have enough of that are increasing in popularity and participation over time? You know, how are the $1,000 and $1,500 events doing? How are the $10,000 events doing? So, you know, like when you see the schedule this year, you know, you see that, you know, based on, you know, when we look at the schedule as a whole, you know, we're trying to get out of, you know, this is it should be a $5,000 buy-in just because that's an arbitrary number and that sounds good. Okay, Turner should be $5,000. No, it should be the amount of the buy-in should be dictated based on what you think you could do to create the best tournament, the best competition, the most strategic competition that will create the highest prize pool and draw the most amount of players and give the players the most value for their money. So that's really what you try to do. So if it's, you know, you're looking at pricing something at $3,000 or $5,000, you have to ask yourself, if I'm going to run an event at $5,000, I'm only going to get 200, but I can drop it to $3,000 and I can get 500 players, then I can only not double but even exceed double expectations for this particular event, then the players are going to have to invest less and have a shot to win more. So it's better, right? You get more players, but you really create better competitions for the players. And I think that's what it's about. I think it's about finding the optimal solution for each discipline, for each game, and what those respective buy-ins should be, and how many of each event should obviously be in the schedule. We know that the weekend should have, you know, small buy-in, no limit event bracelets. We know that the mixed events work well at night, you know, because you can't have one bracelet per day because you have so many things going on that you want to keep things going and give people options to play other things because people do have limited time. So, you know, you have to be able to spread out your big buy-in events so those types of players don't get stacked on top of each other. So it really is a trick. But I'll tell you what, it's all part of careful analyzation, figuring out what has worked and what hasn't worked in the past, figuring out what players like and don't like, and then taking all of the information that you can collectively and then making a decision. You know, that's what a good leader does, and I think that we have a great team here, and I think all of us that spend the time to you know, work on it every year and figure out, you know, what should be in the schedule, what shouldn't, how the World Series of Poker should be set up and shouldn't, and what we did right or didn't do right or what we could do better. I think that we have a great process in place. And as long as the process is strong, then the results are going to be strong and there will be continuous improvement over time.
Well, Jack, you guys always do a great job and I always enjoy spending time with you, whether it's here, in Europe, anywhere else. Your team deserves congratulations. And I'll be down there in a week or so, and I'll make sure that I come and see you, and we'll have some fun.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show today. Right. Say hello to all my friends up there in the Great White North. And I hope you can all make it out to Las Vegas, to the Rio in Las Vegas, anytime between now and July 16th at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino. We'd love to see you guys.
All right, sounds great. There is Jack Effel, the tournament director of the WSOP. Coming up on the final segment of the Poker Show, we'll be joined by Canadian poker pro Gavin Smith. Find out what's going on in his world. That's next here on the Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to the party in Las Vegas. PartyPoker.net invites you to play for a spot in the biggest tournament on the planet, the World Series of Poker. Play in one of the daily qualifiers to earn your way to the WSOP with a $14,000 prize package and a chance to win your share of over $192 million in prize money. Qualify now and play for free at PartyPoker.net. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be aged 18 or over.
Welcome back to the Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong, and we've been chatting a lot about the WSOP so far because it has begun with the Casino Employee Event. And joining us on the line right now is a 2010 WSOP Bracelet winner, Guelph, Ontario's own Gavin Smith. Thanks for doing this, Gavin.
Hey, no problem.
First of all, Gavin, I was saying just before we got on the air here that you did let me down. You stood me up. You stood me up in Vegas, of all places. I'm in your hometown. I call you, and you're like, "Now I know you lead an exciting life, and I don't particularly blame you for ditching me, but it still hurts a little."
Well, I think probably what happened is I realized that you have on numerous occasions bitched about how it costs you money to receive and send text messages to and from me, so I didn't want to cost you any extra money.
Well, that does seem fair. I can't argue with you there.
Yeah, because you're cheap.
Stop. But nonetheless, I did manage to survive Las Vegas without your help, without your guidance, and probably with considerably less cocktails than I might have had if we got together. So I
not as much fun, nearly.
No, that's probably true. You know, it isn't as much fun. Vegas is a fun town with you, and I know you've been out and kicking about and on the road and playing events and getting ready. So what's your poker story? We need to know what your poker story is right now.
My poker story right now is I'm about ready to start embarking on playing a ton of events.
Excellent. And yeah. What's your first one going to be?
Tomorrow I'm going to play the 1500 no limit.
Excellent. You got it laid out for how many events you're going to play this year? I mean, as always with everyone, it's always budgetary concerns and things like that. These days of big online.
It's funny how, you know, it's sort of a interesting little paradox here that the worse you do, the more events you play at the World Series. So if I do terrible, I'll probably play about 30.
And if you win a couple...
If I do well, then I'll probably only play about 20, maybe.
Yeah. It's, it's a different world than from the days of online sponsorship and people having big bankrolls. Do you think there's going to be a lot less players this year? This will be the year where we see the downturn?
I don't think so. The hype around town is pretty big right now. So I think it's going to be as big as last year, for sure.
Now, you're talking before, Gavin, that you're getting ready. I mean, what kind of things do you do personally to get yourself ready to go for the WSOP?
Nothing.
Push-ups, sit-ups.
No, tomorrow's another day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to put my pants on the same way as I did today. And then
backwards.
I'm going to go in and play poker.
It's, with the events, I know that you play a lot of games, that you are capable of doing well in a bunch of different games. You know, is there anything that you want to focus on this year more than previous years, or are you just going to go out there and hammer away?
No, I mean, primarily, I mean, like, No Limit Hold'em is my best tournament game by far. So, I mean, you know, and I think the most value in these in the World Series is in the lower-priced No Limit Hold'em events. So I'm going to be playing pretty much all the 1Ks and 1500s. Well, I think there's only one 1K, but I'll play all the 1500s and 2500s, whatever. I'll play all, but that'll be my primary focus. But then, you know, I'll kick it in for a few extra ones, too.
Do you find it's difficult? You know, I mean, there's upside and downside to those events. I mean, the upside, obviously, is there's a lot of dead money and a lot of bad players and bigger prize pools. But, I mean, the downside is it's people do ridiculous things, and sometimes it works out for them.
Yeah, that's life. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Gavin, we hear, I mean, so much about how it is a mental grind, but we talk about, you know, the amateurs that go there thinking it's just going to be like they see on TV, they're going to be fine, all they have to do is play the way they do at home with their buddies. But, I mean, how much of a mental and physical grind is it playing these tournaments at the WSOP?
I don't know so much that it's a physical grind, but it's definitely a mental grind. I mean, every year is the exact same. Every year, like tonight, it's like kind of like Christmas Eve. You know, the World Series is starting tomorrow. We're all pumped up, excited, ready to go. We all go in fresh and start playing. And then in about 3.5 weeks' time, you'll see everyone's, you know, not quite as enthusiastic, and they're dragging their ass a little bit. And it's a little tougher to get up and get going in there and play your best game every day. So, it's tough mentally. It's a tough 6 weeks, but, you know, we do it every year. And we're ready for it. We know what it's like. We know what it's going to be like. And it's not going to be any different this year than it was last year, the year before that. So, you know, it's cool.
With the obvious exception of big sponsorship dollars from online companies.
Yeah, they were gone last year, too.
Yeah, and one of the things that we did see that was readily apparent was there were just, you know, the money that was always floating around in the past for TV table deals, for guys who didn't have deals, but, you know, just somehow got that luck of the draw, showed up in the morning and their table had that note on it that said, please report to ESPN table. There was no payday
right.
for that anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a smaller payday, that's for sure.
It's,
I think there's still a few deals out there there's probably no paydays for the complete unknown players like there used to be. But I would think that a reasonably well-known player, which if they can get on the ESPN table, we'll still get something.
You were talking before about how, you know, you may play up to as many as 30 events, and obviously that's going to take up a lot of your time. But do you ever just, you know, hang around and watch some events? I mean, we know we've got the big one for One Drop this year with the $1 million buy. Are you going to be checking that out at all, Gavin?
No. No, I don't really care about watching. The only way I would watch is if I have a buddy make a final table, I may go down for that. And it's got to actually be a pretty good buddy. It's not, you know, and I, like for surface runs, I don't necessarily go down because it's kind of boring as hell to watch it. But, you know, if any of my core group get to a final table, I'll probably go down and check that out.
Well, and you know, I guess that's part of the give and take, right? Because when you won your bracelet, there was a pretty good crowd of your friends around that were rooting for you.
Yeah, there was a lot. They were kind of foolish, you know, because it took a long time.
Well, but isn't that an appropriate crowd? I mean, you wouldn't want to go to a rock concert and see a classical music audience. I mean, if Gavin Smith's playing a final table, you want a rowdy, cranked up.
Yeah, they were kind of rowdy too, but no, it was nice.
So, you know, the players that are coming into play this year, you ever consider who's going to be playing events and, you know, who might be due for a good World Series, or is that just something you just put away and don't even think about it?
I don't really think too much about it. You know, I mean, I guess I thought about it a little bit yesterday. I went out and helped Todd Brunson with his 25K fantasy team. Although he didn't listen very well and he drafted a terrible team.
How's your team looking?
I didn't put a team in there.
Oh, you just helped out.
That's a little speed for me.
Who were you thinking there were guys that were good picks that Todd wouldn't take?
Well, I thought they wouldn't take me. They didn't bid him up. But, I mean, he stopped bidding on John Manalo, and I always think he's a pretty good play. I think that I'm interested to see this internet phenom kid from Australia, this James Obst, see how he does. Or I don't know if I pronounced his name right. Interested to see how he does because he just turned 21.
Who was the highest bid this year in the fantasy draft?
I think Ivy.
Ivy again.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
I think a bunch of them went for around 83 or 85 bucks or something like that.
Wow.
I think Ivy went for 99.
Yeah, that's pretty steep in that draft.
I went for $1. So for a cool 100, you could have me and Ivy.
It's a pretty good duo, I'd say. It's a pretty good tag team. You mentioned the Australian kid that's coming to the WSB. You mentioned the fact that he just turned 21 years old. I mean, what have you heard about this guy? I mean, personally, I'm not sure who you're talking about, but clearly you make it seem as if you mentioned the fact that he is a phenom. So clearly people should be keeping their eyes out for this guy.
Well, I haven't really heard that much. I mean, on Poker News, they do, like, these rookies to watch out for, so and they did a little bio of them. And I guess he's had, like, incredible online success, and he's had a little bit of live success because I think he can play a little earlier in Australia than here, like, younger. I think he's done all right.
When you're sitting down there, are you aware of who these guys are, Gavin? Or you know,
I know not really.
a lot of the time, you don't care, and that might be the right attitude to just treat everybody as if you're better than them, because thinking people are better than you is probably not a great idea.
Yeah, no, we all put our pants on the same way. That's we don't have to worry about that.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch, and you know, you had a people were really happy to see you win your bracelet, and I think it would be a year where we'd be really happy. Both as you know, myself as a friend and as a fan of Gavin Smith, to see you win another one. So just go win a bracelet.
You know what? I think that's a great plan. I'm going to try to do that.
You are?
I'm going to try to win another one.
You would never have thought of that if I hadn't told you.
If you hadn't told me that, I might not have done it. But now I'm going to try to.
Well, I got a feeling, Gavin. I got a feeling. I think this is going to be a good year for you. So
I feel pretty good. I'm actually I'm playing pretty well right now and running decent right now and. I've got a real good feeling about this World Series.
Well, I'll be down there in about 10 days. I'm coming down to play some events, so you can call block me and avoid my calls, and we'll just go from there.
No call blocking here, buddy. We'll go up for some drinks.
All right.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for doing this, Gavin, and all the best.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
There is Canadian poker pro Gavin Smith joining us here on The Poker Show. And, Chris, I mean, you kind of have to love the attitude that he has. He just goes in there, and whatever happens, happens.
Is that the attitude where I text him when I land in Vegas saying, hey, buddy, I'm in town. Let's get together. And he says, oh, great, I'm coming back into town tomorrow night, and I'll call you as soon as I get in. And then he didn't call me.
That might be a different kind of attitude.
I was like
talking
the ugly
about the
girl
table
at the
attitude.
Dance.
Ouch.
Yeah. No, listen, Gavin's a good guy, and he's a good tournament player, and you know, it's at times everybody struggles in their careers, both, you know, as a player and personally and everything else. And this is a guy that just fights through it all and keeps swinging and keeps plugging away. So, you know, I never doubt his ability to succeed at the table. I think he's got that, the skills, no problem whatsoever. And in these events, I'll tell you, those the events he's talking about playing, like the 1500s, you know, those fields of bad players, he didn't say it, but he can mow those guys down. He's really good at figuring people out quick. So he'll, I think he'll do well. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it should be fun to keep an eye on and see what he does there. But it's funny, you're mentioning before, or you were kind of surprised at how much, you know, Phil Ivey went for as the overall pick there. The $83, is that what Gavin said, I believe?
I think, didn't he say 99?
Sorry, 99.
Yeah, that's yeah, 99. I mean, that's pretty steep in that draft. I mean, that's a lot of your money that you have available to spend, your cap space, as it were, in the fantasy draft. But, I mean, Phil Ivey has a reason to be focused in playing this year. You know, he's there's no big money coming in from him anywhere else, so he needs to make money as a poker player. And the only question will be whether he can make more money in the cash games. And if he can make more money in the cash games, then he may not play as many events.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And there has been a buzz about it this year. And, you know, some people are saying that there's been a trend downwards in live poker. But it's only a very minor, you know, trend. And I think it's people are just getting ready for the series. And I think you're going to see WPT events continue to grow. I think you're going to see WSOP events continue to grow. And I can't bet against Seth Polansky anymore, who constantly gets the number very close to perfect for the main event. And he said there's going to be more this year than last year. So, you know, I got to believe Seth.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's always right on the money, it seems. Pardon the pun, if you will, when it comes to those things. But, I mean, as we get deeper into the tournament, we're definitely going to have Jack Effel back on the show. Great guest tonight. And we'll also hopefully catch up with Gavin as well if he continues to run well like he says he's doing right at the moment. You can follow Jack on Twitter at WSOPTD. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Chris DeCero and myself, Rob Wong, at WongSN590. If you ever miss an edition of The Poker Show, you can find us on iTunes or on Sportsnet590.ca. For Chris DeCero, I'm Rob Wong. This has been The Poker Show, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.